pop it like it's hot. Pop it like it's hot. Got the rollie on my arm and I'm pouring Sean down and I roll the best weed cause I got it going on.
Hey, and welcome to the first ever Space City Nerd anime podcast. Ohio! My name is Rex, and I have with us today, we have everybody introduce yourselves all at once now, and we'll see how it goes from there. Not really. Yeah, we have with us Tim, who you might recognize from our Extra Life events and stuff.
Every once in a while, I'll pop up, yep.
Yep. And we have Devin, who is the writer and artist for Dragon Slayer.
Hajimemashite, Devin tomoshimasu. Yoroshiku onegaishimasu. I also lived in Japan for a bit, so.
And also, we've got Kayla from Sentai Filmworks.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And Drea, also from Sentai Filmworks.
Hey, how you guys doing?
So let's get started. We can talk about our favorite totes kawaii desu shows that we're watching right now. Did I say that right? Was it is it kawaii or kawaii?
It's actually the kawaii. Island nation or the island of Kauai.
Ah, it's there we go.
It's a very
luscious
place.
The body
place.
Part of the cow. It's a kawaii. Pronounce it like that.
But you love the cow? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Cow eye.
Yeah, cow eye.
Please insert a rim shot there.
That's a good one. It's a full solo.
Oh, man. What are you guys watching right now? Like, what's piquing your interests?
It's a little bit older. I was kind of freaking out about Ping Pong. Did anyone watch that?
That show is so fucking good.
Yeah,
I still have not seen it yet.
Ah, it's this awesome anime based off Matsumoto Taiyo's Ping Pong, anime by Masaki Yuasa. So it's this real like experimental animation, and it's about like this existential crisis between these two kids and what the sport means to them in their life. It's not like anything you've really ever seen before. It's sort of like a shonen sports anime by the barest definition, but like. It ends up, the world is built around ping pong. There's a really good movie based on it too, but I recommend that and Blue Blazes, which is a live action film about like, or live action TV show about like the beginning of anime. Hideaki Anno is like the bad guy. It's kind of awesome.
Really?
Yes.
That sounds
awesome. That's like Ultraman.
Awesome. Oh my god.
It's like Kung Pao. You know how like there's Wimp Lo who's like, we taught you wrong. And he's like, oh, I've lost, but I'll get better. Like, the main character is this guy who went to college with the head of Bones, whoever started Bones, the head of Hideaki Anno, most of the Gainax crew in some capacity. So it's really a 13-episode show about the beginning of Gainax, but told from this guy who wants to become a famous either mangaka or animator. And, like, he just keeps losing, but he's confident that he'll get better. And, like, Hideaki Anno is, like, Hideaki Anno from, like, day one. So it's, like, he's the bad guy. It's really amazing. It's the best thing I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I'm going to have to check that out. It sounds a lot like, because Gainax, like when they first started, like really early on, they did that one Otaku no video where it's kind of like a animated mockumentary of how they started it. And it sounds really similar to that. And that's one of my favorites ever. So I'm definitely going to check that out.
You'll love it. Each episode is perfect. And it's the humor translates.
Oh, man.
I just recently finished watching Kyokai no Kanata for the first time. It was from a few seasons ago. It's translated as Beyond the Boundary. And it's actually really good. I couldn't get past the first few episodes when it was originally airing because the pacing was just so weird. But in the last four episodes, it sort of does this Tarantino thing where it pulls all the disparate plot threads together and it just ends up really, really good. it's sort of a supernatural show, and it's by Kyoto Animation, and they usually do like fluffy slice of life stuff like Kaon. So it was really cool to see them do action set pieces and things like that.
Nice.
Also, everyone should watch Shin Sekai Yori from the New World. Like, no one watched that at all, but it's so good. It's like a post-apocalyptic anime, and everyone has crazy psychic powers, and it's really well written.
I guess I'm next. The only thing I've been watching lately is just, you know, waiting week for week for my next JoJo, pretty much.
Yeah,
exactly. I knew you'd get back me up on that, Rex. Last show,
I'm so far behind on it, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
It gets better. The only thing I don't like about Stardust Crusaders is that there's so many just stupid, you know, just fart and poop jokes throughout it. It's annoying as hell.
Yeah, that,
but it's also violent.
And I feel like since it got picked up by Crunchyroll, like I never rewatched the first season of it since they put it up there, but when the first season was airing in Japan, I watched GG was fan subbing it and did a really good job of like embellishing the subtitles into something that read like the manga. And I feel like the Crunchyroll ones, like the GG subs were definitely like probably not nearly as accurate as the Crunchyroll subs have been, but they got the point across just as well, and they were a lot more entertaining to read. Like, the language was so flowery, and as soon as like I started watching Stardust Crusaders on Crunchyroll, I missed GG's like fan sub job on that so much.
Yeah, that's the thing about fan subs, is that they put a whole lot of love and heart into just the way that the words would just appear, the kind of font that they use, the fact that they would actually translate the songs and have it be like a little karaoke thing go on throughout it and such.
Yeah, and apparently, like, people were complaining about GG's, like, sub for that, like, when it was airing, and, like, I remember reading some, like, forum drama, because, like, people were like, oh, this is too goofy for, like, an action show, why would you do that? Because they really, like, they played up so much of, like, everything goofy about that show, and people actually got like upset about it to the point where they were like, if it hadn't been licensed, they were thinking about dropping it or something, I remember reading. And
oh,
it really bums me out that people like don't appreciate translation jobs like that. Like, it was so good.
Yeah, that's messed up. The other thing, the last thing I finished, I think, was the second season of Chunibyo, was it Ren, I think it was called. And that was really adorable. I like that better than the first season, but the first season is more of a slow start more than anything. It's just one of those shows where you just have to keep going on through it and hope it gets better, and it does. So yeah, that's what I've been watching pretty much, just JoJo at the moment.
Well, I've been actually watching Parasite right now. It's I don't know if you guys have heard of it. We actually recently acquired that title, and I've been just keeping up in Hulu with it. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's about, like, I guess, invasion of aliens taking over. And it's sort of like a parasite type alien that, like, infiltrates in your body and makes you, like, I don't know, it makes your body parts all weird and shit. I don't know. It's really
it's
like
a David Lynch movie.
Yeah. Exactly like that. No, but it's pretty cool. You guys should really check it out. I mean, I haven't really watched it all because we're, like, slowly putting it on Hulu. So I'm pretty much caught up with whatever it's on, because I don't really have time to actually sit down and watch TV or anything like that.
Yeah.
That just finished up on Crunchyroll, actually. So that should be available up on there. I know U of H's Anime Club is watching the first half of it right now, and everyone's been gushing over it. So it looks really good from what I've seen of it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I've heard so many good things about it. Like, I've been meaning to start that one up. I just really haven't had the time lately. It looks really good. There is that, there's that image from the manga that's been on 4chan, like, since the dawn of the internet. With, like, the guy's arm, like, turning into a penis.
Yep, that's in it.
Yeah, and,
the anime does not disappoint, because you're gonna see it there.
Oh, good. Yeah, because I was wondering about that, actually. I was going to ask about that, because I've always wanted to read that manga since I found out where, like, the sauce on that was from, and, it was from really, like...
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was about to say, I was really, like, surprised that I got turned into an anime and is really, like, super popular now, but very pleasantly surprised.
Oh, yeah.
From what members have told me is that it is really, really very close to what the manga is as a whole. The only thing that they did different with it, with the anime, is that they just changed it so it would be up to date. Because the manga's like, what, from like the 80s or 90s or something like that?
Yeah, long ago, at least the 90s. Cell phone.
Yeah, before they used cell phones. So they made it up to date like that. But from what I've heard is that they pretty much said it's like a spot on translation from manga to animation.
But yeah, that's what I've been watching. And of course, I've been keeping up with like Sailor Moon Crystal. But I think I'm just keeping up with that just because I like to make comparisons to the original. So it's just like, I don't know. Sometimes I get really disappointed because I feel like some of the storyline is a little bit, it's been a little bit like rushed, which feels like they're just being lazy with the storyline. And that's why they're having so many troubles with the animation.
Yeah,
but I don't know, like, that's my opinion.
I haven't been keeping up with that one at all, because the releasing every other week thing, like, I would just forget about it, and then forget about it, and then forget about it, and then months would go by and be like, oh, hey, Sailor Moon Crystal.
That's going on.
So it's behind. Yeah, that's a thing. That's still happening.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's just really rushed. Like, I've been getting really disappointed week after week with it. It's just not something I would rave about, in my opinion.
Yeah, I've been watching, like, I haven't been watching a lot of new stuff this season. Like, I'm so behind on everything, even JoJo's. But, like, around December, I had a bunch of money and went a little bit too crazy on Wright Stuff's, like, winter clearance. So, I've been chipping it away at things like Blue Seed, which I hadn't watched in about 10 years.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, that one, it's held up interestingly. I wouldn't say it's, like, held up well, but it's definitely, like, I think it's more of a nostalgia thing for me. And the other one, my girlfriend and I have been watching Cyber Team in Akihabara, which is this really, like, obscure ADV put it out back when, like, ADV was putting out, like, everything and dubbing everything, like, right before they went out of business. And it's got it shares a lot of the same staff as Saber Marionette J. But it,
oh, cool.
Yeah, and I really like that show a lot, but this one is, it's like, it doesn't know what it wants to be, so, like, every disc, almost every episode, it just, like, completely, like, changes gears, and it keeps things, like, interesting, at least. So, and we're almost done with that one. I think we only have, like, one more disc left on that.
That's pretty cool. Does it have the same weird animation as the Saber Marionette?
Yeah,
like,
I'm not sure
like
if it's...
Like, weird night style?
Yeah, it looks very, very 90s, and, like, the video transfer on it, it, like, looks very, everything about it just feels, like, super 90s, and the music, they dubbed some of the songs, but they only use the dub version sometimes, which is really interesting to me. Like, I don't even know why that was a thing that happened, but, you know, it feels so 90s. I'm not sure if it is the same studio as Saber Marionette J, but I know it was, like, the same character designer. I think the writer, too. One of the writers.
I sort of did the same thing on the Right Stuff Winter sale, and bought the first few box sets of Monogatari, and that show's insane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I need to watch more of that one for sure.
Yeah, the art direction in that one is really avant-garde, to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the other one I picked up, because I'm trying to remember what all I picked up. The other one, I got a bunch of Hello Kitty Stump Village for my girlfriend, and I also had wanted to watch that for a while. It's a Claymation one.
Oh, huh.
And, yeah, and it's really, really well done, I guess. Genion put that out around the time that they were, like, still going strong. And it's, the dub and everything makes it seem like they were going to try and get it on American TV at one point. And they did a lot more, like, I guess, Americanization of it than they would, like, most other things. But it's really, like, worth watching if you're into the Sanrio thing. Or claymation. There's not a whole lot of, like, claymation stuff that's come out of Japan.
True.
I really like claymation a lot.
Have you ever seen the, I think it's a French claymation called,
Chainsaw
Made?
Oh,
it's called Chainsaw Made.
Chainsaw Made. No, I have not seen that.
Okay, you should totally, like, look up on that, because it's pretty much, it's, like, this really short, like, of claymations, and it's about, like, this maid that's pretty much going on a rampage of, like, murdering, but it's, like, really hilarious. I don't know how to, like, explain it, but it's just really visually pleasing if you're into, like, gory stuff.
Sounds
yeah,
like
I'll
a
have to check
story.
That out. Yeah.
I know, right? But yeah, check it out. It's called Chainsaw Made. And I think we have it on Hulu. We also, like, licensed that, so.
Sweet. Yeah, I'll definitely have to look into that one then, too. That being said, we're going to break real quick. We're going to play a song from Teddy Lloyd called Forever Love. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Anime Matsuri, because that's coming up this weekend. So, stick around. We'll be right back. Sweet. So that was Forever Love by Teddy Lloyd, who will be at Anime Matsuri this weekend at George R. Brown Convention Center. Drea, can you tell us some more about exciting things that are happening at Anime Matsuri this weekend?
Okay, I'm Andrea, like I said before, and I work for Sentai Filmworks, and we're like a Japanese animation licensing company, and we have pretty much produced some stuff from like Persona 4, Girls on Panzer, Devil's Barber, Bodacious Space Pirate, etc., etc. And we're gonna be the first time in our I guess Texas convention. We haven't done it before. We usually go out of state, usually Anime Expo and whatnot. But this time we had the opportunity to collaborate with Anime Matsuri to be there for the first time. So we're pretty much going to be there all weekend, and we're going to have our industry panel on Friday. It's going to be around, I believe, 1 p.m. in panel room number 2. And we're also going to be doing the Supersonico English dub world premiere. Whoa. That's going to be like, I don't know if you guys heard of it, but Jessica Negri is voicing Sonico.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty out there, pretty amazing stuff. We're going to be doing that, I believe, on Saturday, 2:30 p.m., and that's going to be in panel room 1. And we're also going to have live auditions for bits and little parts of Parasite the Maxim. And I hope you guys go there, because, I mean, who doesn't want their name to be in an anime? You know, it's kind of like getting your foot out there if you want to do voice acting for the first time in your life.
Yeah, and just to remind you guys, but that's the show where that we were talking about in the first part, where the guy's arm totally turns into a penis.
Yeah,
so
totally.
Who doesn't want to be in that show?
Maybe you could voice the penis.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, maybe it could be the penis. Who knows? It could be anything. So, I mean, just be there. We're going to have that, I believe, in Exhibit Hall C and D. And we're also going to have our booth, which is going to be booth 1002, I believe. And we're going to have Parasite body painting. And the guy that's doing body painting is Rudy, which you've had before in your podcast. And yeah, we're going to do that.
Yeah, I'll be over there by the body painter.
Kayla's going to be there. She can answer all your questions about anime stuff and weebu things, because we're all about that.
I might wear a maid costume, but I don't know.
Aww.
You should wear a maid.
Do it.
Be like, senpai.
Oh, man. It'd be great. Sentai Filmworks Maid Cafe booth.
Oh, God.
Go Shujin-sama. Go Menosai. Be legit.
Just hand them a poster or something.
Yeah. It'd be so good.
Or we should make a calendar.
Oh, my God. Calendar. Sentai Filmworks calendar with Maido girls. Everyone in the office is invited.
Yes. Our production manager is this, like, really big bro guy, and he would be the, like, centerfold piece, definitely.
I think the centerfold will be Sentai guy from social media, to be honest. I mean, you can't get better than that.
It's true.
You can go to our Twitter, go to the Sentai Twitter, and check out our Twitter feed. It's insane. Like, we love you guys. Like, we really, really do love you, and we'll give you feedback, and we'll be weaves all around with you on our Twitter.
It's very true.
And there's going to be so much going on at Anime Matsuri. Like, I'm looking at the guest list right now, and ton of voice actors, lots of music.
Yeah, a lot of key animators from Trigger are going to be there.
That's got me really excited. I'm kind of jealous. I want to check them out.
They made Inferno Cop.
Yeah, I was about to say... Like,
that is the most important show ever made.
Yeah, by far.
Not that Kill La Kill show, but just freaking Inferno Cop, that's where it's at, baby.
It would be great to just take, like, a grainy screenshot, like, with the YouTube, like, page in view of Inferno Cop and, like, Xerox it at Kinko's and have them, like, sign it. Like, that would make my life.
I'm almost tempted to do that now.
You know what I saw the other day? Whenever, because I went to Staple, there was this girl that had this print of King of the Hill and Kill a Kill, and it was called Gorilla Hill. And I wish I had that on me so I could get that signed by like the animators. That would be freaking amazing.
That would be so good.
Yeah, they'd be confused.
Mm-hmm.
it's like right now there's the best anime. Have you guys heard of Bart Kira?
Yes. Oh my god, yes.
Yes.
So it would be like Bart Kira, where like Otomo's like, I don't get it, but sure. You know? Do it if you want.
Oh, man.
I don't know if any animation studio is going to be cognizant of Western media, it's probably Trigger.
Yeah.
But King of the Hill is pretty specific. Like the humor gap would just be oceans. You know?
Right, that's true.
Yeah, even the humor gap, like, I know people from up north that just don't get King of the Hill at all. Like, it's a really common thing, like, outside of Texas, it just does not, I guess, have that sort of appeal, which is a bummer, because it is the best anime.
It is the best anime.
Cory in the House is the best anime. Come on, man.
Cory in the House is, like, last year, but...
There was this one chart that charted out how every character of King of the Hill fits slice of life moe tropes, and was the moe.
Oh my Holy god! Shit, I need to see that.
I love yeah.
Oh man!
I think we all know that Samurai Pizza Cats is when anime peaked.
Oh yeah! It didn't get any better. Anything after that died.
Yeah, it was just I remember everyone, like, girls were getting their hair done up, like, the characters, and, like, the pachinko machines, and all the gashapon figures. It was nuts.
Oh, man.
That show is ridiculous in English. It's even a self-parody of it. It's great.
I still need to pick up that box set. Like, I remember getting really excited a few years ago when I saw that Discotech had, like, license rescued it, and I never wound up buying that box set.
It's crazy how many of the plot points fit up with Breaking Bad, too. It's almost like Breaking Bad was just cripping Samurai Pizza Cats. Like, if you look at the daimyo ostrich is Tuco, like, you know.
Oh my god, yeah.
I mean, very, very similar, very similar.
They're the same show. Breaking Bad and Samurai Pizza Cats.
Too much. Like Speedy Cerviche is sort of like Walt, you know, and Greedo Anchoa was kind of a Jesse Pinkman type of character, and Polly's sort of like Walt's wife, Polly Esther.
Oh my god.
So, you know, true good storytelling transcends culture.
Mm-hmm. Oh man. So back to Matt Suri.
If we say Speedy Cerviche three times, he appears.
Getting back on Matsuri, I know that the main reason why they're bringing a lot of Trigger guys over is because of their successful Kickstarter for Little Witch Academia 2. They're actually going to premiere that as well over on Matsuri. The first one is absolutely adorable.
The first one, like, is one of my favorite things from the last, like, couple of years. Like, I do like an Inferno Cop more though, because
Inferno Cop just saved anime.
I was really hoping Inferno Cop would take off a lot more than it did, and we'd be seeing like Inferno Cop cosplay everywhere. I just don't understand why that show just didn't take off the way I hoped it would.
It was just made for people like you and me, Rex. That's all I can think of.
I guess so.
Yeah. I know, let's see, more of the guests. There's a lot of cosplayers being there. I know Yuka's going to be back there. Stella Chu's coming back and bringing the Nerdlesque show again. That was interesting last year.
There's been a lot of, like, I'm noticing, like, more and more, like, burlesque and cons in general. Like, it just seems to be a thing that's happening a lot, and I think it's really cool.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
I think it's mainly because everyone's getting over, you know, the whole panels of hentai only for, like, adults, and that's kind of, like, it's fun at first, but then it's just kind of boring. Like, you know, is that all you have for the adults, really?
Yeah, and like in all honesty, like I would rather sit through like a whole weekend full of burlesque shows than ever sit through another hentai panel again.
Yeah, all the jokes get old, really. I mean, there's just so much stuff you can do with that. It's just not fun. And I'm not really into the rape scene, so
yeah.
I would never step on the ring at all.
That one.
Yeah.
Rape seed?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the most popular hentai from last year.
Rape seed.
I'm pretty sure if you Google that, you'll find it. You wouldn't be disappointed either.
I'm learning all about rape seed now. It's often labeled a vegetable oil.
Oh my god.
Seriously, there's like images on my screen. This is awesome. It's also called canola.
That's pretty intense stuff there. Got, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Gene
oh,
technology. Man. This is fascinating.
For anyone who's interested in Lolita fashion, I know that Metamorphos, the brand, is going to be there selling some clothes. So.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
They're also having Lolita parties and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, the Houston Lolita scene is pretty in touch with anime matsuri.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's going to be a car show, which is really, like, interesting to me, like, that they would have a car show at something like this. It makes too much sense, and I'm surprised it doesn't happen, like, more often.
Oh, they have it every year, though.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, and that's what's, like, really interesting about matsuri to me, honestly, is that they have this, like, other event going on, like, as part of it, that's they need to do more things like that at other conventions. Like, it just those two scenes cross over way too well.
Yeah.
Isn't
really
Heavy
funny.
Grinder doing that?
What's up? Oh yeah, Heavy Grinder is doing that.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh man, what else? There's gonna be a dance, a formal dance.
A Sadie Hawkins dance?
Yes. That's what it should be. They need to do one of those at an anime convention. Like, that would be...
Will there be crumping?
Silly. Yes.
There should be just a little bit of crumping.
Oh, man.
Dude, that would be
and
great.
They have
you
a
know
dress
how many
code.
Mashups of rap and anime themes there are? Dude,
yeah,
that would be
no,
perfect.
You know what you could call it? You know what you could call it? Check this out, guys. You're not even ready for this. Dr. Crump. Oh,
yeah!
My God.
Oh,
Lord. Mic dropped.
Oh, man. So, we know Dre and Kayla is going to be there, but Devin and Tim, are you guys going to matsuri at all?
I will not.
I picked up my badge a few days ago, actually, so yeah, I'll be there for sure.
Sweet. Mm.
I wasn't itinerant enough. Like, I actually tried to get tables for this. This has been one of my, like, the most frustrating anime conventions for me, because, like, I usually, January is when I, like, get all my tables, and it's sold out probably, I think even November last year. Everyone's been telling me, like, I gotta go to Matsuri, and I'm like, I'll go if I get a table. The number of times someone's told me I've gone and checked the site and tried to fill out a thing and found out they're out, it's been, like, 4 or 5 times. Like, Matsuri is this big thing in my head now. Like, I'm gonna have to go next year.
For sure, like, I'm honestly not sure if I'm going to be able to make it this year, which is a bummer, but it's con season again, so there's just, like, way too much coming up at once that I have to, like, save money for.
Yeah, pretty much. But wait, what do you mean when you said you got a table, or needed a table at all? Dan?
Yeah,
So I draw comics, and so I like I go to anime conventions and mainly comic conventions. I go to anime conventions too. I put in for Akon this year in Dallas, but I'll go to conventions and sell art and comics that I've drawn. So that's like my job, which is kind of awesome.
That's pretty sweet.
I'm also a terrible boss though. Like, so. I'm like really mean to myself, but so like Matsuri is one where like you know, anime conventions are a lot of fun. They're kind of a different crowd than comic conventions, usually kind of a younger crowd, and it's funny because like comic conventions I'm a lot more up on, I guess, like cosplay. It's a lot easier to tell what people are cosplaying as at comic conventions. Whereas anime conventions, it always keeps me guessing. It's like,
yeah.
trying to figure out some show I didn't watch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you're from K-On! And they're like, no, I'm from some other schoolgirl anime. I'm like, ah! Can't do this. Next
yeah,
year.
Hopefully you'll be able to make it out next year.
Just right now. I'm actually just going to go. I'm going to bring all my stuff. I'm going to, like, either find a table that's empty or find a way to sneak behind someone, Assassin's Creed them and their partner, and then take the table.
Oh, God. Or you could pull a Chip Zdarsky and set up across
Yes.
in the convention center.
Yes, it's the Zdarsky Con.
Yes.
I'll totally
that
do
guy.
It.
That guy.
Or do you guys know if there's going to be a ball pit at Matsuri?
There will be a BetaCon,
oh,
right?
Man.
BetaCon's got one, right?
Yeah, BetaCon, we totally got the ball pit from Tumblr or from DashCon. And I heard that, yeah, the DashCon ball pit. And I've heard a rumor that will be, BetaCon won't be the only convention around this year that ball pit's going to be at. So, but I can't say any more than that.
Do you have to pay to get tickets to
the
BetaCon
need VIP?
Ball pit? Or...
Yeah, do
yeah.
you need VIP for the fucking...
Yeah, it's just like any other guest. You just have to, like, wait in line, and I don't know if it's going to be, like, charging, like, for autograph, like, balls or anything, but I mean, yeah.
I was hoping to get, like, a overhand picture with it.
Yeah.
Can I get a overhand picture with it?
What if the ball pit's like, what if it's a total dick and trashes the hotel room the night before? Like, will it be replaced with, like, an even better ball pit? But, like, one that was on Firefly?
Like a bouncy house.
Yeah, a small bouncy castle, one person bouncy castle.
Oh man.
For children.
Ball pit got too drunk last night, so here's the bouncy castle.
The ball pit slapped the above ground pool, so
it's kind of legit. Oh man.
Oh man.
And on that note, we're going to go for another break. We're going to play some Baby Metal. I believe the song is I Love Chocolate. And we'll be right back after that. So stick around.
We'll be right back.
All right, that was I Love Chocolate by Baby Metal, and now we're going to go around the table and talk about our least favorite aspects of anime culture. Womp, womp, womp. Devin, can you start us off with this?
Okay, so to me, the thing that's, like, always kind of drives me nuts, and it's funny, we've been joking about it, but it's, like, the fetishization of the Japanese language, where it's, like, sugo, like, we were before the show doing the segue, and, like, desu, and all that stuff. Like, that's one of the things that drives me nuts, because, like, when you spend time and get in a language and figure it out, it's kind of like Tommy Wiseau's The Room, you know? He's like, oh, my God, you know? It's like...
Oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
Konnichiwa, Mark.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Marchiko-chan. Like, you know. Oh, Genki,
they should do a remake of The Room in Weevil Lounge. That's
oh,
yeah.
Jeez. That, they could just call it Oheya, Mark. But that's the thing that drives me nuts the most, because, like, when you spend a lot of time, and, like, people are like, yeah, I speak Japanese, and they'll, like, memorize the numbers and the colors, but, like, it's a rich, like, I spent a ton of years with it, and I still wouldn't say I'm, like, I can speak quick, and I can speak kind of fluent, but I still wouldn't necessarily call myself fluent. Like, it's a rich, diverse tapestry of communication between people, so whenever it gets abstracted to, like, a very kind of dumbed-down culture where people are like, oh, kawaii is Japanese, I'm out, you know, like, I learned four words, I'm good. That always drives me nuts.
Tim, you want to go?
Yeah, sure. I'm trying to think of something that really does irk me. When it comes to culture, I would say I hate some fandoms. Like, if you love a show, that's fine. If you want to cosplay it, that's fine and such. But the one thing that I hate is when everyone has, like, just so many, like, happy smiles going on. They're wearing, like, Attack on Titan shit and like that. And you're just like, yeah. This world is scary and dark. Why are you smiling? Get into your character. Come on. Get to it, you know. But really, that's just a stupid nitpicky thing on me. I guess the real thing that really irks me about some anime is how it's just so rushed at times. Let's say it's from a light novel or something like that, but the light novel is still going on, and they decide to go ahead and just, you know, produce an anime right away, because it makes it feel like it's too flavor of the month. And whenever the anime ends, it's just completely open-ended, and it just doesn't solve anything at the end of it. It annoys the piss out of me. Really, that's really about it that annoys me more than anything.
Is no one recording? Yeah. Kayla?
Yeah, I have definitely one big one in mind, and that's fans who... say that there's no good anime anymore, who say, like, yeah, all the good anime was in the 90s. But I feel like that's just because all they watch is Cowboy Bebop and Outlaw Star over and over again, and they, you know, just don't watch anything that's coming out right now. But you have some pretty great modern classics like Maho Shoujo, Madoka, Magica, and things like that that are pretty amazing. So... it really irks me when people just write off this decade of anime.
It's the same with music. It's just like an aging fan base, and it's like, oh, the glory days. Like, I'm guilty of it too, because I'm like, there's nothing on, and it's like, it's not that there's nothing on. It's just that I'm not adventurous to, you know. I totally know though.
Yeah, me too. All too well. Drea?
That's a really hard thing to say, I guess. I don't know. But I really despise people that, you know, I understand that you have a love for Japanese things, and that, you know, I can appreciate that, because I mean, I like Japanese stuff as well. But whenever you put it in a way that's like, oh my God, Japanese are like the superior race, and it's not going to get any better than that, and Americans are filthy pigs, and we're not going to be as good as Japanese people products or culture as they are. Like, I really hate that.
Like, I think that's the definition of weebaboo. I think that's
is straight up.
There's weewoos, but like, okay, there's like people that, for example, they only like they're obsessed with cars, or they're obsessed with like Kamen Rider, or they're obsessed with like just Japanese, like a specific Japanese cult, like, you know, culty sort the of things, not necessarily just anime.
Yeah, well, like, the music is better because it's Japanese. The TV shows are better because they're Japanese. Where it's like, you know, we've got, like, you know, something that's equally as compelling. And it's crazy because Japan's trying to mimic us as well. And they're like, oh, if only we were American, you know. It works both ways.
It's the crazy thing about it. But I don't know, I just find it really ridiculous, especially whenever, like, you're not, like, you know, it's kind of like you're getting rid of, like, what you were born. Like, if you were born as an American, or if you were born as a Mexican, or, like, you know, any other culture, and you're completely, like, trashing your own culture just because you have this weird obsession with Japan. That's what I hate. Yeah. Like, it's just ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
But that's all I can really talk about regarding that.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of really is it's kind of like along the lines of what Kayla said, but almost the opposite. Like, as many people that I know, they're like, oh, there's no new anime or no good new anime happening. I know so many people that, like, refuse to watch, like, older things. Like, I had to pretty much shove Akira down a guy's throat, like, a couple months ago. I mean, like, it's held up well. Just watch it. It's super good, and you need to watch it. And he did finally. He's like, wow, I shouldn't have passed on that just because it was made, like, 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah. It's crazy how many people haven't, like, seen the classics. It's like, ah, you know.
Yeah.
They're amazing for a reason.
I guess I take that for granted, having watched, like, the original Gundam when it was on Toonami and stuff like that.
Yeah. There's... Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they don't really have that as much now. Like, it doesn't show up on TV, like, very much at all. So that whole, like coming of age in the 90s and getting into anime was a lot easier at times in some ways, but in other ways it was harder. And now there's Hulu, so there's so many choices, so many things to watch. But, also... Real quick, too, I wanted to let everyone know we're having a contest for what was it, Drea? What are we giving away?
We are giving away, I don't know if you guys have heard of this brand called Heavy Black. It's HBYBLK for short. They're kind of like a fetish-friendly type of shirt company. They do, like, other stuff, like shorts and... I guess hoodies and other, like, little accessories, but most of the stuff that they produce is things that have to do with, like, let's say, like, Japanese sort of, like, pop culture, but as well as, like, kind of having a play on fetish in a way. It's really friendly stuff. It's not like anything, like, super terrible what you couldn't wear to your mom's house. The person that designed this company, he's worked before with Shintaro Kago for some of his, I don't know if you guys know, like, with Shintaro Kago, he's like a horror manga artist.
Yeah.
And he's done some collaborations with his t-shirts, and he has them on his website. You guys can go to, I believe it's called hbyblkcult.com. Or you can check out his Instagram to see what stuff he's done before. But we're going to be giving away some prizes, some of his t-shirts. I'm not sure exactly which designs yet, because he has a lot of them that he's currently working on. And some of the ones that I really, like, I personally like is his little banners of Sailor Moon and, like Sailor Scouts, pretty much on fetish positions, like playing with Shibari or, like, you know, BDSM and things like that. And, we're going to be giving away those little prizes to whoever sends in, I guess, your anime convention or just anime horror stories that you've had within your lifetime, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, we need your convention or fandom in general, like, horror stories. Send them to spacecitynerd@gmail.com, and we will read the... best ones on Tuesday's the flagship podcast, which I guess comes out on Wednesday. And then, the winner will get cool clothing and stuff. Yay. And it'll be a lot of fun. Woo. For everyone. And we'll get some fun stories to read, and we can do dramatic voiceovers, and it's going to be good. So
the worse your story, the better.
Like, give us the creepiest things that have happened. Make them up if you have to, but don't make them up if you don't have to, please.
I'm just going to find the Wikipedia plot of It Follows, and I'm just going to, like, substitute out all the pertinent details.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Anybody else got anything before we sign off for the evening?
I'm replaying Metal Gear Solid 3, and I forgot how insane the boss battles were in that one. I love the guy who's just constantly covered in bees.
Yeah, I like that one, and the sniper duel.
That one was awesome. I just got to Volgan, the electric USSR commander guy.
That was such. I need to replay that soon. It's such a ridiculous game. I love it so much.
Anyone playing Bloodborne?
Oh, I watched one of my friends play it. It looks awesome.
It's freaking amazing. I just finished it like earlier today. It is like the coolest game, like in forever. I don't know. Whatever the most hyperbole is.
Yeah.
It's the most hyperbole.
It's like the spiritual successor to Dark Souls, right?
Yeah, but like with I call it Devil May Cry meets Ico.
Like, that's awesome.
That's what it feels like. Like, you just go and explore. Like, I've spent all week. Like, I got the game, and, like, I take lunch breaks. Like, I draw all day, and then, like, I get to choose my own lunch breaks. But, like, for my lunch break, I'll just, like, grab cereal and then spend the whole hour playing. And then as soon as I'm, like, okay, done for the day. Like, and then this weekend, I've just, like, nonstop. It's just because you find these, like, little areas, and you just run off, and, like, there's mystery down them. And then, like, you finish the area and you go and find another area, and just, like, the whole world tells an incredible story, and, love it.
Yeah, that sounds so cool. I'm going to have to play that soon, then.
And it's, like, it sucks. The first, like, 5 or 6 hours, if you don't know how the game works in any capacity, like, it kicks your ass. But, like, I was like, man, I'm going to take this game back. I'm so sick of it. I hate it. The first 5 or 6 hours, and then the next morning I woke up and, like, beat the boss I was having trouble on. I'm like, okay, I kind of get the hang of it. And then by the end of it, I was like, you start to feel like a samurai because you conserve your, like, energy. You, like, wait for the enemies to come to you, cut them down, and then walk past them and go on to the next one, you know? Like, the more you need to move around a ton, but, like, I'd wait for them to make the first move and then utilize their mistakes against them. It's amazing.
Oh, man. I don't know.
10 of 10, would die again.
Yeah, I'll have to play that one soon, then. Oh, man.
Do it.
Yeah, I've been watching other people's, like, Twitch streams of it pretty often, and it's so pretty, too.
Yeah, there's no place where they skimped visually, so, like, each area is just fully defined. It has its own flavor. I started off hating it, and, like, it's the most NES game I've played in forever, because it's, like, you're playing the game. It's not like, it doesn't hold your hand. It's not like, here's the checkpoint, here's the weak spot. Like, I compared it to Doomsday. I'm like, it's like throwing a baby with a knife into a pack of wolves, and, like, the baby doesn't make it, so you throw another baby, and eventually some baby takes the wolves down, and, like, that's you. You're the baby. You're like, you have to figure out how to take down the wolves. So.
Oh, man.
That was actually a pretty good description of my childhood.
You're the one that survived.
Yes.
Oh, man.
That's awesome.
I can never own dogs because of that.
too much like wolves. You see a chihuahua and it's just, like, knifed out.
Exactly.
The Kill Bill music plays in the background, that, like, siren. You better run, chihuahua.
Hey, I guess that's it for this week, then. It was really fun, excite, good show, something something in Japanese.
Much talk, very wow.
Oh. Much wow.
So host.
Hey, is anyone going to wear their Sailor Moon outfits from the Sailor Guys? Jesus, is he gonna like wear it or not?
I don't know. I have to do some work on mine before I wear it out again. So,
are you guys planning to do it again, ever again, at all?
Yeah, I know it's definitely gonna happen again. Probably even at Comic Palooza, but yeah, we just got to. I've got to do like a little more work on mine, and I don't know about everybody else, but we were all planning like all sorts of different like alterations and things to like fix them up like at the end of the last con. So,
are you guys trying to make it more sexy or what?
No, just better quality. Like,
okay.
The Fuku, my girlfriend made them, and we used liquid stitch, and she figured out other better ways to do it. So, like, she wants to like redo that again. I don't even know where my wig went for that either. So,
I still need to join in on that.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, because I don't know about you guys, but I would make a pretty great Chibi Moon. That's for sure.
The best Chibi Moon.
Yes, the 300-pound man with the beard and the long hair. It's going to be great.
Yes.
Oh, my God, yes.
Is that not normal, Chibi?
Is that not canon?
Just steroids, I mean, yeah.
Isn't that the final form, though? Isn't that what happens in the anime? Because I thought that's what happened in anime. I don't know.
She doesn't turn into a robot?
Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for letting Sentai represent. It was really cool being on here.
Oh, no problem. Thank you guys for being on our podcast. It was good. Do another one of these soon.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Just let us know and we'll be here to answer any questions you have about the anime industry if you need us to.
Absolutely. Dre and I don't have lives, so we're always available.
What's your favorite subtitle? Like, just one. You get to choose one.
My favorite subtitle that I made was just one word, and it was Brolicious.
Oh, yes. My God.
That was in Log Horizon Volume 1. So check that out if you want to see a one-word subtitle that just says Brolicious.
That's legit.
Oh my God, that's so good.
I'm more curious what it corresponds to now in Japanese.
Well, you'll have to buy the Blu-ray to find out.
Yeah.
if you want quality subtitles, just go to anything that Kayla has worked on. She will not disappoint.
I did the Parasite for Hulu, so yeah.
Nice.
There you go.
Parasite doesn't have Brolicious, though, right?
Unfortunately not.
No, but it has penis hands, so it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think at one point I used the word garbage baby. But I don't remember what show that was.
Oh man. Cool. So on that note, I think we're gonna call it a night. Thank you for listening. Thank you everyone for joining me on this adventure. And we'll see y'all. No problem. We'll see y'all next week.